Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. Hope everybody enjoyed the weekend, enjoyed the NFL draft. Had some baseball, of course. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. There's been a lot going on in the sporting world. No huge developments regarding the transfer portal, although we will talk about two that popped up today. One is a lot bigger than the other. Two sports here that we are discussing. Still waiting for news as far as Illinois basketball goes, as far with additions. Benham Rickhaus transferred from Evansville, visited Illinois later portion of last week. Still no announcement, even though, as we talked about, I believe on Friday, that an Evansville TV reporter said that he had committed to Illinois. He had reported it. He had wrote a story about it. Others have picked it up since. I think that there are people on our board saying that The Athletic currently lists him committed to Illinois. He is not committed, and we're still waiting here as of 3:11 on a Monday for his announcement and just to put some clarity as far as his plans to announce his decision, if he's going to take another visit. Is that going to happen? Is there another suitor involved? So we'll wait and see how that goes. Usually you don't like time elapsing too much after your visit and what you view as a closing window. So I wouldn't say it's time to panic on that one, but it is one that you really want to hope gets resolved here shortly, because that's one that Illinois definitely has felt good about, and I think the fit makes a ton of sense both for both parties, because Rickhaus can come into Illinois, have a lot of opportunity and offense that was catered to Marcus Damask last year and did a really good job. Mismatches, multi-positional playmaking, using size on the ball and those type of things, and then being able to shoot it from the perimeter. That's a big need for Illinois right now, especially even more so after Luke Goody has left. So we'll see what he ultimately decides to do. And Kyle, as you and I were discussing before the show started, there is less than 48 hours to get in the portal, and we got to see who else is going to be available.
Do you expect there to be like a massive like 11th hour last second where you have a bunch of guys hit tomorrow at like 11 p.m.? Is that,
maybe, yeah.
It feels like there's probably one last wave coming here at the last moment. Would that be fair to speculate?
I would hope so if I'm Illinois, and yeah. I would think so.
No doubt. You got five scholarships open right
now.
Yeah,
I know. And I would expect that we have a couple more big splashes, and that's speculative. Yes, I've heard on one in particular. I think everybody kind of knows who that one is, on the wing, and Illinois needs to fill that spot that's left by Terrence Shannon Jr. and knowing that things didn't work out with AJ Store, and we'll see if that guy becomes available, because if he doesn't, then what's the pivot for Illinois and how do they operate from there? Not to say that he's an automatic for the Illini if he goes in, but it would be one that made a lot of sense just based on previous connections. And some of these have worked out where Illinois' prior relationships, prior efforts have been able to translate into quick processes and getting that thing done. So they have a lot to sell on the wing in terms of development, in terms of Terrence Shannon's role, in terms of NIL. I think that they have really earmarked a big chunk of change as far as NIL goes for that wing spot. And even we can talk more about like Ugonna Onyenso, big man from Kentucky who's in the draft but in the portal as well. And there's some buzz out there for Alabama right now. I know Jamie Shaw of On3 put in whatever their version of a crystal ball is for Alabama, which I found interesting. I told you the Tide and Nate Oates are currently hosting Cliff Amore for a visit, the Rutgers big man, but also getting a On3 version of a crystal ball for Onyenso as well. So I wouldn't imagine they get both of those guys. It does sound like Onyenso has a very high NIL price tag. Sounds like a broken record. It really is. Bigs have been getting paid top dollar this offseason in particular. And I just think that what Illinois is expecting to allocate towards a scoring wing, what they have to be competitive for a Benham Rickhaus, that the five spot, they probably can't go too high on that one. So I'm not saying that he would be an automatic for Illinois, even though he was an Antigua recruit, even though he obviously played for Cal and Antigua for 2 years at Kentucky. But if he's commanding, which there's some word out there, maybe upwards of $1 million.
Wow.
As one of the best shot blockers in the country.
Also, I don't know if Illinois like can do that. Game, though. I mean, yeah, no, I get it. Great rim protector, but he played 18 minutes a game and really was a lob threat only on offense. Is that worth $1 million?
I probably wouldn't go in that direction. If I had like...
Now, I get he's an NBA prospect, so NBA talent in the portal is probably getting paid pretty heavily.
Yeah, and I think he's still only like 19.
Fair
enough. He's got some ability to develop more, and Orlando Antigua would know better than anybody what maybe is still left untapped with him, how much offense potential there actually is, although I know his around-the-rim numbers as a finisher were not good last year, at least ideally for what you'd want out of a seven-footer who's that athletic. Now, I do think he can become more, just especially just more consistent as a lob threat pick-and-roll guy, but you would like, more bang for your buck in terms of the production he had this past year translating over to this upcoming season, if that's what the price tag is going to dictate. So, yeah, I mean, for Omar Ballo to go $1.2 million, I'm sure Amori is in the – got to be probably in the million-dollar range or thereabouts. I mean, there was even – I don't know if we talked about it on air, but there was even talk of, like, Dane going for anywhere between $300,000 and $500,000 to Memphis. Ooh. Like, I don't know what his actual number was, but and there are some skeptics out there who say a lot of these numbers are inflated – and these it gets passed around in recruiting, and then it comes time to maybe sign a contract, and maybe that number isn't the same, and there maybe is promises of, well, we'll give you this much on the front end, and then you can earn up to this based on your performance, marketing potential, those type of things. But these are numbers that have been getting thrown around. So I think that with Illinois. And Bill's weighing in. I know that he's been talking about NIL here recently. He said, I thought Pipes and Jeremy said Illinois could compete with anybody in basketball NIL. If recruiting is now just a matter of money, why does Antigua matter? I think that that's on the U of I line, on the text line, of course, by the way. I wouldn't say that they are in the same realm as a Kentucky, as in Arkansas. They're a step behind Indiana in NIL. I would imagine they're behind Kansas and some other schools out there. Bama is said to have a lot of cash involved. Villanova is another one. I'm sure UConn isn't poor on that front, especially after back-to-back national titles. I do think that they're in the upper tier of the Big Ten, second, probably in the conference, in that $2.5 to $3 million range. On the question of Antigua, relationships still matter. Getting you in the right doors still matter. Development definitely matters because there are players who will maybe take less to go to a certain spot where they'll get the most out of them. If they're especially those that maybe are thinking about the NBA pros in mind, it could be a shorter term gain to take the most money now versus going somewhere who they think will get the most out of them and set them up for their longer term career and going to the NBA at the highest dollar figure or sticking in the NBA by getting the most out of them. So look, I'm not trying to sell you, Bill, that people aren't choosing the most money in some of these circumstances. I can tell you in not all of them is it going that way. But with Orlando, I do think that, again, that the relationships matter. And a lot of times, to be honest with you, like some of these transfer portal recruitments, a lot is done back channel wise, behind the scenes wise, prior relationships wise. That stuff can matter where players go in, they know where they're going to go because some of that is.
How many recruits have you seen already this offseason where they enter the portal and then they got a commitment at it the next day?
It's happened, yeah.
It has happened. You think that there wasn't a lot going on beforehand?
Yeah,
it's not
right.
Just. Oh, this guy hit the portal. Let's start recruiting him from scratch now. No, that relationship was there. That mutual interest was probably already there.
Right. So I think that certainly carries weight for Orlando, who's very connected, who has coached a lot of high-level players at Kentucky. And sure, there may be in your mind that there are guys who will just say, okay, what can I get at Illinois versus what can I get at another school? And I'm going to take the biggest bag and go with it regardless who I'm playing for. I could play for Tom Crean if he was hired somewhere else. It wouldn't matter to me. I can go do it anywhere. Some others are going to say, I'll take less money to play for a place where they're going to win or they're going to develop me or all those things combined. Also, there are instances where the money's the same and then you got to try to have an advantage in a different area. Again, development, winning, those type of things. So I still think Orlando's very valuable. I think he was in the previous era of college basketball. I think he's in the current era of college basketball. And yes, he still needs to. And look, he's been official here at Illinois for what, a week, 2 weeks? We'll see what his
1 week.
We'll see what his stamp is on this offseason cycle, but I'd be surprised if he doesn't have one.
You'd have to think. I mean, you got 5 open scholarships. You're going to fill a lot of those. Like, it's Illinois is not going to enter the season with 7 players next year. They're 8 players.
Yeah, that'd
I
be
guess.
Dangerous, wouldn't it?
I think there's still a lot to be done. There's still hundreds of names out there in the portal now. I think there's still going to be more to hit. And I think, I mean, Orlando Antigua has done this before at Kentucky. Yeah, I think he's going to come in here. He's already had a plan of what he wants to bring to the program here in his first offseason. I'm just going to wait until it's like mid-May and see where we're at. It's no use. This entire coaching staff, even before Orlando got here, has proven that they are savvy in this portal game and that they're going to attract talent they already have, and they're going to be prepared for next season. There's no use in overreacting to anything to me until we get to like June and everyone's roster is about set. For me, it's more of a patience game than anything at this point, even as hard as that is, even as much as when you have a dry spell during portal season where you don't hear any news, you're craving it so much, especially when you have all the attrition that Illinois had. But I'm going to wait to overreact or, you know, question Antigua, maybe give him like a month on the job instead of a week.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no doubt. We'll see where this thing goes. And I do think that, obviously, Illinois needs to fill spots, and they need to hit a couple more big ones.
Yes.
I think especially – I feel like Kylan Boswell's a big one.
Missing that Shannon Damask-level player, though.
Of course. Of course.
Absolutely.
Would you – maybe it's not going to matter with Onyenso, but let's say you can play, you can pay a premium at one of these spots, and you can get a pretty decent to very good at another, and then maybe – you've got to get a discount in another. So between the wing, a forward like a Humrickhaus, and a center, I think everybody would probably prioritize the wing as the,
sure,
let's hit the home run. I think maybe then you have the conversation. I don't think Ben Humrickhaus is going to cost you $1 million. Mm-hmm. Now, Louisville was involved, so I'm sure that they offered him at least $500,000. And I don't know. Again, there are people who wonder if all the Louisville, quote-unquote, offers or money that's getting tossed around or said to be in line for people is all real, even though there is a line of thinking that, hey, they had a lot of money for whatever coach they were going to go after, and Kelsey was probably a discount as far as their head coaches, their head coaching search. Maybe that just got funneled all into a big NIL fund to go get players. But I understand why a guy like Onyenso or another big man, like someone could be like, well, we could use Balo. Like, would you want to give him 1.2 if your budget's 2.5 to 3? I don't know. So
let me ask you a question going back to Illinois' needs. Isn't guard becoming a need for this roster? I feel Nico Moretti hits the portal today.
That is the news that we buried, but yes.
Yeah. Did I just say that for the first time?
You said it for the first time, yeah.
Sorry. Nico Moretti has entered the portal, yeah, in case you missed it earlier today. But isn't guard becoming more of a need? Like, I feel like all the discussion the last 2 weeks has been wing, center, and those are two huge needs. But you have two guards on your roster right now in Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn and Kylan Boswell. And I know that, you know, Brad Underwood has found something with the kind of the positionless size. I get that, but man, who's your backup ball handler behind Kylan Boswell right now? That's somebody that I think, especially after you miss on Dante Maddox, is climbing my mind in terms, mm-hmm, of needs on this roster, especially now that yeah, obviously you need a wing, you need a center, you got to get those two things, but you got five scholarships open, and guard seems to be kind of the least talked about need that's kind of formed here.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think it's something certainly that I've wondered about here recently as well. Now, I don't know that Nico Moretti was, and I'm not saying that you were saying, oh, well, you know, he was going to play 15 minutes a game next year. I don't know how many minutes he was going to be in line for, probably in competition with DGL in the backcourt. We'll see if DGL can be more comfortable on the ball this upcoming year than he was last year. I know that the staff talked about his ball screen ability as a high school prospect and thought he could make more reads than like a Jaden Epps and those type of things. I still think as of right now, he's probably still viewed as more of a scoring combo than he is a on-ball playmaker for sure. I don't know that they're ready. We'll see how the rest of the dominoes fall with this roster. I don't know that Illinois is ready to give up on the Ty Rogers point guard experiment.
Oh, come on.
I'm serious. I'm not sure that they are. We'll see where it goes. And again, like they might land a point guard or a combo and somebody's going to come in and be that obvious pivot when Kylan's off the floor. But as of right now, they number one, they want Ty Rogers on their team. They want to find him minutes.
Sure.
I wonder about
need a lot of wing minutes too, though.
That's true. I'm just sharing what I've heard, Kyle. So
honestly though, that doesn't bother me too much because Ty as a secondary ball handler is fine. Like he has that in his skill set. You're not building an offense around him or pretending like he's your starting point guard this year like you did last year already. So it doesn't bother me as much, but mm-hmm. I still want the majority of his minutes to come on the wing because I think that's where he'll have the most success, especially on the defensive end, where I think there's a lot of untapped value for him to add.
No, I fully agree with you. And I do have questions about him still on the ball, especially if he's not gonna shoot it. And I don't think that's everything. I think getting to the rim and finishing is a big part of it. Defense is probably bigger than the offensive part of it, especially you know, if he's the quote-unquote point guard, but Hamrickhouse is out there, and when they're together, he's having the ball in his hands a decent amount, or you get a stud wing that you run actions through, and Ty is bringing the ball up, but maybe not your booty ball type of Jalen Pickett, which we never saw that. We never saw him in a lot of ball screens either. Not saying he can't get there to a certain point this upcoming season with more development. I do think he's a more natural Swiss Army knife forward, obviously, than he is a point guard, whether he's a starter or a backup. I guess one thing I would wonder about, and I do wonder about, how much can you sell? One of the challenges is trying to sell enough opportunity because people are going to see, if there's another point guard out there, they're going to see Kylan Boswell there. And if they're a multi-year guy, they're going to know that Jeremiah Fears is coming in the next year. Maybe you can find a Justin Harmon type, a guy who's obviously you'd want a different skill set. You'd want more of a actual point guard, but someone who is okay with coming off the bench, that is viewed as kind of a selfless, wanting to win. Maybe he's never been to the tournament. That type of guy who just wants to come in and do whatever the coaching staff asks of him. Although it can be hard to balance. It can be hard to go out and find somebody that's willing to do that. So I'll be curious if the right opportunity presents itself. I don't have a name off the top of my head right now to say, oh, you pivot to this point guard and he'll be okay with 10 minutes a game behind Kylan. I don't know that. If you can find it, that'd be great.
Yeah, I didn't even totally mean like go get another true point guard on your roster. I just meant a guard in general, maybe more of a combo, somebody who can handle the ball. Thinking back to how badly they wanted Dante Maddox, that's the type of guy where clearly they had a lot of interest in him. Now, he was a guy that was probably primarily going to play off the ball and be a shooting threat, but he's somebody who played point guard before in his career. When Kylan was off the floor, maybe you put the ball in his hands more, and it almost feels like they haven't really pivoted at all since losing out on Maddox, and everything's been about, well, what center are they going to get? Are they going to get some type of big-time wing, which are the two biggest needs still, for sure. But it just feels like there's still a rotational guard that needs to be added here to complete the roster to go along with DGL, to go along with Kylan, and preferably somebody who could handle the ball in more of a secondary role when Kylan's off the floor, because right now that is probably DGL or Ty doing that, and it's not the worst situation to have, but I mean, I just think you need another guard on this team, especially with how many scholarships are open. Like when you're talking about just bodies, adding bodies, another guard, another guy who you can comfortably put the basketball in their hands, I think is something that should be prioritized as much as some of these other needs.
No, I think it's very fair. At the very least, you need some Kylan Boswell insurance.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, in case
this isn't the Bob Cousy winner we're talking about. I really like Kylan. I think he's going to be great, but it's also like a guy who had his ups and downs last year.
Yeah, or even if he gets banged up a little bit.
Sure.
Obviously, you hope for full health, but anything can happen for sure. So there's that part of it, the inconsistencies, definitely injury insurance as far as that goes. I do think even just secondary playmaking, kind of what you're talking about there, they really like the thought of Maddox can play on the ball, also off, two different guys that can push in transition. I think you can get some of that if you find the right piece as a big guard wing. And I think that's kind of where some of the pivot has gone, especially as they prioritized Benham Rekhaus more. I think they have viewed, okay, we might shift the pieces where previously maybe a projected starting lineup looked something like Kylan, Dante Maddox, if you got him. Then it's like, what, Trey White, big wing, Trey White, and five. Or now it might be Kylan, big wing, Trey White, Hamrickhouse, five. So you might play more.
Playing another
more
really
forwards,
big lineups, like last year.
Some of the playmaking, some of the ball in the hand stuff might be Hamrickhouse versus, if you get him, you got to lock that up, versus maybe another traditional guard. But then again, I think it's fascinating with five spots. That's not to say you can't go get another guard. I don't know. I think that there are a lot of really interesting possibilities now. Before we catch a break, I wanted to hear just kind of what do you think about the loss of Moretti? Were you hopeful for who he's going to become? I mean, the Iowa game got everybody excited. And not to say there's like, oh, point guard of the future. This is the guy type of thing. But he showed some things. He showed an ability to come in and make some tough shots. And I think offensively, there have always been reasons to be optimistic, but defensively has been a big drawback. Bottom line for me, I don't know if he's good enough to play big minutes here. That was always kind of my feel. You never know how a guy's going to progress. Athletically, he has some limitations. He's not that big. Defensively, I have a lot of reservation there until proven otherwise. So I didn't have him in line for a big role next year and would be skeptical that he ever achieved that here, but that's just my opinion. Not saying that he can't prove me wrong over time, go to the right spot and play well, but that's just the way I look at it.
Yeah, I agree. In my mind, I never really viewed him as more of just kind of a deeper bench type of guy. And honestly, I felt good about, like, if he was back, I was like, well, that's actually a pretty good like 12th or 13th scholarship guy to have.
Sure.
Because he's a guy you know can handle the ball. He's proven that in case of, you know, if he's needed, he can provide some type of value in a high major game. That's something we hadn't seen at all. I think the Iowa game and a couple other of his spot minutes at least proved like, all right, he's not completely overmatched at this level. But I never really viewed him as somebody who was really going to do more than, you know, 5-10 spot minutes here and there, which I actually thought was fine based on this roster and just needing bodies. I don't really feel any type of way about him leaving. And it's fair enough for him to say, hey, maybe there's a spot where I don't have to be the 12th or 13th scholarship playing spot minutes. I can find a spot where maybe I can try to play more. That's totally fair on his part. So I don't know. I think that's probably it's whatever. I think both sides are fine with it.
Yeah, I think in a vacuum or on its own, it's not a big deal at all. I think it is just more about now how many spots are open.
And just the fact you have two scholarship players back as of now, and you got 36 hours to keep them both. You got 36 hours to actually lock them into your roster.
You feel good about those two?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
Dre's already made his posts and has gone around saying he's back, and I can't see Ty leaving.
I feel the best about Dre right now. I don't think Ty's going to leave, But isn't it just out of this world that for all the social media stuff with Dre's mom and Dre not playing very much, and we knew that he bounced around schools, and just there was a lot of like, all right, if year one doesn't go pretty well for him and he doesn't come into a role and his mom's not blowing up Facebook or Twitter, that, you know, there's a good chance this guy's going to be 1 year and out. And he's here and he's been the guy of late that we've been the most confident that isn't going to leave. He's one of the two guys. Like, if we just kind of just blind fed you at the beginning of the year, or middle of the year, like, Illinois going to the Elite Eight. Oh, sweet. Awesome. Two guys are coming back from that team. Dang. There's a lot that we're already going to leave. That means we had portal guys. DGL's obviously one of the ones that left, right? No, yeah. Actually, he's the one that we expected to stay the most over the last few weeks, if not a month or whatever. That just would blow people's mind.
Oh, if there was like a betting odds placed, like even like at the start of March, about who's going to be the first player to enter the portal for Illinois, it would be between Dane and him. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I had no expectation of getting either of those guys back. And good for Dre that he's bought in and has, you know, I don't know what the right word is, but he's kind of drowned out the outside influence. Mm-hmm. And clearly he enjoyed his year at Illinois, and he believes in whatever Brad Underwood had told him in his exit meeting or whatever, or end of season meeting, I guess I should say. And I'm very glad to have him back, because if he's gone, we got one guard on the team. And I really like his scoring upside. Like, yeah. I do question whether he can be a true, like, on-ball creator, playmaking type of lead guard. But I know he can score. And I know he's a dynamic athlete. And even just in the bursts we saw, he can light it up. I think there's going to be – if he sticks around and he develops, I think there's going to be games where he's putting 30 points up in Big Ten games. Like, that's his potential on the offensive end. So I'm glad to have him back. I think he actually has a great opportunity, at least right now, to play a pretty big role next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Now, I'm not going to say he's going to be a sincere, like, defender, but I do think he's one of those guys that can maybe change the energy of a game when he's on defense.
He looked good defensively at certain points last year, where he would just come in and you could tell that he played really hard and he can move his feet really well. He's fast. I think he could. Yeah, he's going to be undersized, but I think he's not going to be a negative defender.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Just got to stop fouling as much. That's pretty typical freshman. We'll continue this conversation. We'll also fill you in on the other transfer portal news on the football side. This one, kind of a bigger deal and probably deserving of a little bit more angst. We'll fill you in on that after the break. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Line and Link text line. No Lon today. Still on the IL. Hopefully to get our buddy back here tomorrow. You got Kyle and I today. We'll talk more Illini basketball, football, transfer portal news, and anything you want to hear about on the U of I Line and Link text line. We'll be back. This is The Drive.
Introducing Logic Coworking, where productivity meets comfort. Elevate your work experience at the best coworker facility in the area. With state-of-the-art amenities, high-speed internet, and a vibrant community, Logic Coworking is your ideal workplace. Enjoy flexible plans, ergonomic workspaces, and collaborative environments. Your perfect workspace is waiting for you, because at Logic Coworking, they're not just coworkers, they're collaborators. Visit logic.work for details.
Mom, she won't stop touching me. Breakfast stinks.
Guys, no phones at the table.
Family dinner time? Not easy. But you know what is easy? OSF On-Call Urgent Care. When you need convenient, affordable care for minor illnesses and injuries, you need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. Be seen in person or connect 24/7 online when and where you need it. Learn more at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champagne, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars, they're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champagne. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, champagne.com. Dixie Chopper, and he's available out there.
Absolutely. I'm going to throw you out a couple of specials that we're having right now. One is a Rhino 15-foot rotary flex wing with a Dixie Chopper Classic 35-horse 60-inch mower. It's industrial. $35,000 for the pair.
Both of them?
Yep, both of them together. $35,000.
I take it that's an outstanding deal because I'm not...
Saving $13,000.
Oh, okay. Wow.
You're in the mowing business. Well, time for an upgrade.
It's time to mow big time. You'll get all the yards done really quickly with those.
And then if you're looking for just a residential mower on its own, we've got a Z2 48-inch that we've got out there right now for $59.99. That is $2,000 off.
What is the location?
That is 1306 Triumph Drive in Urbana, right down from Farm and Fleet on 45.
Yep.
Or check out Dedicated Diesel on Facebook.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm Home and Auto Insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw is ready to help you combine home and auto and save right here in Champaign-Urbana. Call 352-1411 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
You've heard about the doggy bag, right? From Bulldog Disposal Muhammad, a 6-cubic yard canvas bag that can be used for easy cleanup instead of a big dumpster. The one-time use bag is now available and you can save the delivery charge. Get the doggy bag at Do It Best Hardware in Champaign at 107 West Springfield. So fill up the bag, call Bulldog Disposal, have it disposed of, and you'll be organized. Go to bulldoggybag.com for all the details. That's bulldoggybag.com.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
Hi, I'm Makaira Cook, and I'm here to talk about Pacifica on Green.
So what do you like about this place and living here?
Oh, I love this place. It's such a luxury apartment. There's plenty of amenities. There's a very nice gym, and the rooms are awesome. So I just love it here.
Every floor has something fun. Do you go to the game room?
Yes, I go to the game room some nights, and I'll play with my friends. We'll play Mario Kart a lot, and my mom really likes the Pac-Man.
Live the way you've always wanted. Visit them at PacificaOnGreen.com.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champaign. We can handle all your car repairs on site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champaign is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampaign.com.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. We'll get to a number of your texts here coming up, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Plenty of them basketball related, but want to get to you the news of the day on the football side. And this one seems rather concerning, Kyle. AJ Dennis, who I believe is the highest ranked recruit, probably pretty clearly, that Brett Bielema has landed at Illinois since being here.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-year enrollee, right? He enrolled in January.
He was here for the spring.
Yep. He is in the transfer portal. Four-star offensive lineman, former Michigan State commit, then decommitted, visited Penn State, Clemson, and Illinois, ended up signing with the Illini, and he's already here and gone after just a few months.
Not good. Not good.
I'd say not.
I'm starting to get a little concerned about what's going on over there at the Smith Center. I, I need something to get me excited again. I need some type of good news. It feels like it's just been bad news, bad news, bad news for most of the offseason. Now, obviously, it was great to see the guys get drafted over the weekend, and that's something that is obviously a boost to your program, and to see Johnny Newton go. And actually, I was surprised that Isaiah Adams and Tip Ryman got into day two. That's huge. Lon's Cardinals gets a pair of Illini West over there for Lon Tay, but...
And Lon's no showing him. No Cardinals talk here today.
No. He clearly hated the picks. Alante did not like the Illini picks. He didn't show up today. He was so mad. Anyway, I think it feels like it's just been piling on. Like all the guys that hit the portal the last couple weeks. Now, I'm not saying that a lot of those guys were like starters, but there's a couple that
Zach Toby was supposed to be a starting corner.
You'll lose a couple other defensive backs. You lose Anthony Johnson, who was like one of your biggest transfer commitments of the offseason on the defensive line. He leaves, and he's already committed somewhere else, and it's a pretty good program. I think it was at Mississippi State that he went to, some SEC school. And you lose him. You lose like four coaches this offseason, which I know is that's natural sometimes to get the coach turnover, but you lost a lot of them, and you lost some really respected ones like George McDonald. And mm-hmm.
He went to Ole Miss, right?
Yeah, Andy Boo leaves. That was this offseason, right?
Yep.
And Charlie Bolin goes back to the NFL. And
Anthony Fanellis got the axe after one year.
That one made more sense than the others did.
Yeah. A lot of questions about, let's call it like it is, Aaron Henry at DC.
I mean, you look at the defense on paper. Who's guarding anybody in the secondary next year? I mean, do we have a corner? Who's cornerback one right now? Xavier Scott? Behind it,
we might need somebody to sue the NCAA so Trent Frazier can come back and play football.
Yeah,
play corner.
I know Coleman Hawkins wants to be on the football team. Where could we put him?
He made a field goal, like a 30 yarder.
Yeah, he did. All that to say, it just this is the one positive, positive thing. The thing that got you excited was that wow, Illinois won this big recruiting battle for a guy in AJ Dennis, who's a really talented player, top 150 guy in the country, and you can't keep him on campus for 3 months. I mean, it feels like it's bad news after bad news. And like one of the texters said, I lost it now, but it feels like one step forward is like five steps back for Illinois football this offseason. It has felt like that. So I don't know. I'm getting a little concerned. I need something to cheer me up. I need something to give me some hope here as we add four really good programs to the Big Ten. And coming off a five-win season, you lose a lot of NFL guys. You haven't added a lot of impact guys in the portal, and now you're losing on the high school front as well. It's starting to get to a point where you got to question what's happening over there.
No, yeah, I'm fully on board with you. Even if you are just catching a bad break, I know that it was noted in AJ Dennis's announcement and cited here in the article I'm reading on Atlanta Inquirer that he had a desire to go back close to home. Maybe he's just going to wind right back up where he was once committed, and that being at Michigan State. I'm not sure on that. But again, even if that is just something that happens against you that you can't really fight against, and it's an unfortunate circumstance, it's one of those where that was one of the things you could wrap your arms around and say this could be a product of Illinois selling what was an 8-win season and being able to go to the ReliaQuest Bowl and having guys in the NFL draft just to step up as a program that was going to be the next part of what Brett Bielema was building. I think outside of this, and I'd be happy to hear some thoughts on the UVI line, like text line, of the contrary, or maybe you agree with me. I just haven't seen anything other than this recruitment that is a lot of sense of they've built off of what they did in 2022, and they've been able to push forward and use that as a big sell of theirs. I was shocked last offseason that they didn't come off of having Devin Witherspoon, Quan Martin, Sidney Brown all drafted, that they didn't go and make any kind of splash in the transfer portal in the secondary. And we're sitting here in late April again, and they didn't get anybody at corner from the transfer portal. They got a JUCO corner. And, yeah, Zach Toby was projected to be starting, and he's gone. Like, I don't know what the heck is going on. I'm far more concerned about defense. Yes, A.J. Dennis is a four-star offensive lineman who sees Brett Bielema's program as one that wants to run the football, and that Bielema's done a really good job with old linemen and the development there through the years at Wisconsin. It's just kind of the makeup of his program. And again, maybe this was something that they couldn't really control, but I think it's a tough blow that, like Kyle was saying, where you're in a dry spell where you haven't had a lot of reasons to feel great about Illinois football, and now you're going into a whole new world where USC and UCLA and Washington and Oregon are coming in, and just the Big Ten West is no more. The margin for error is so much smaller now for Illinois just to get to bowl eligibility. I'm not saying it's doom and gloom, it's over, that type of thing, but the reasons to be optimistic have been fewer than they were a year ago. And I'm surprised that we're kind of sitting here, and as I look in the roster right now, like you were saying, I mean, I don't know if they stop anybody.
I don't.
Their defense looks like it's going to be pretty rough, and you lost Isaiah Williams, and there are just a lot of questions about what Illinois football is going to be this upcoming season, and you need some things to grab onto, and AJ Dennis is one of those that you no longer can.
It just feels like they're dangerously close, if not already at a point where they just failed to build the momentum that it felt like they were building with that 8-win season. Mm-hmm. And that honestly kind of started within that season, because you should have been playing in Indianapolis that year.
True. Very true. Yep.
And being an 8-win team going to the ReliaQuest Bowl is still something that Illinois hadn't done in a long time, and still should have been something, especially with when you, like you said, all the guys you had drafted highly, it was still an opportunity to build that momentum, but it would have been like you should have been a 10-win team that year, like, and that would have sold itself, I think, and playing in Indianapolis. But you follow that up with a 5-win season, miss an opportunity to go to a bowl game. Like you said, you didn't really aggressively attack the portal and use that newfound success and that NFL draft sell that year, and now you're a year removed from that. It's a lot harder. You got four new teams coming into the Big Ten that you're directly recruiting against now that are high-level programs, and it just feels like the further you get from that 8-win season and the less hope you have going forward, like if this is as like we think this year, if this is going to be a bad defense and a team that with a schedule that now includes a trip to Eugene, Oregon on it, isn't going to be a bowl team again, now you're 2 years removed from that, and that momentum is gone. And that seemed like the opportunity to really build some excitement and say, all right, this could be a sustained 6-8-win team, which is all we've really, you know, that's the step that we've wanted to take. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like with all the bad news and losing out on a recruit like Dennis after 3 months of having him on campus and losing some of these developmental pieces, as they claim they're a developmental program still, and you lose a big developmental piece like Toby, who could have started this year, and a couple of these other guys, just concerns me that, man, that momentum that you seemingly had, you kind of failed to capitalize on it, and now you're just getting too far removed from it, and it feels like you haven't built on that season, and it might be more of a one-off than anything, and that's not what I thought was going to be the case coming off that year. So that's what really concerns me, and that's just, you need something good to go your way here to get that excitement back and to just have something positive, because it just feels like every Illini football discussion other than the draft that happened this weekend has been negative for all spring pretty much.
Right. And that's where this is beyond even. I know it comes back to kind of your history as a program, but Illinois football has been a one-off program for since beyond the 80s and the early 90s. When I was too young or not born, but I've heard and seen the records and the stories and whatnot of who the program was as far as consistency. I know Mike White in that area and everything, but other than that, it's they pop up once every 10 years or so and do something we didn't expect, and then other than that, it's disappointing, and usually the year that follows the breakout is a dud, and they don't go to the bowl game, and they did that right after the Sugar Bowl, they did it after the Rose Bowl, they did it after the ReliaQuest Bowl, and Big Def even points out, and you mentioned kind of missed opportunity as far as momentum within that season in 22, 7-1 start to an 8-5 finish despite the nation's best scoring defense, one of the nation's best running backs, and a top half Big Ten quarterback. Ouch.
Yeah, I mean, you had a game at home against Michigan State, a Michigan State team that didn't go to a bowl game. You had a game at home against Purdue, which was basically a win and in game for the Big Ten championship. You lose that game. You had a chance. Now, the officials screwed you against Michigan. I won't deny that.
Yeah.
You had a chance there. You had the football with like 4 minutes left with a chance to run the clock out. You don't win that game. And then, obviously, you lose a close game in the ReliQuest Bowl. And, yeah, you finished 1-4 in a year. You started 7-1. And it's not like you ran into Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State and these juggernauts of teams to finish that way. So I do think, like, yeah, within that season was a missed opportunity within itself, but then you still needed to capitalize on that and being an 8-win team in year two. And with all the NFL talent that you were able to produce from that roster, and you follow that up with a non-bowl season, and now you follow it up with an offseason that has had a lot more negative than positive.
Mm-hmm.
And an outlook heading into 2024, which is kind of a pivotal season for this coaching staff and just where this program is at. And I would be hard-pressed to find somebody who projects this team to win 6 or more games this year. I don't, personally. So I just...
Yeah, no, I'd have to look into it a little bit more and see how things come together. I know Randy's...
They can, but right. I just, on paper...
Yeah.
It's hard for me to get past 4 or 5 with this roster as it sits right now, and there's still time.
I want to pull it up.
Running out.
Randy says, looked at Illinois' Big Ten schedule. Only 3 games are elite teams, lots of winnable games. Let's go through it again. Just the whole thing. Eastern Illinois, Kansas, Central Michigan, at Nebraska, at Penn State, Purdue, Michigan, at Oregon, Minnesota at home, Michigan State at home, at Rutgers, at Northwestern. I mean, I don't want to see Kansas again. And
Jalen Daniels is back.
Oh, that's a 400-yard day for him. Should be. I don't know anything about Central Michigan, but hopefully.
You should assume you're going to beat Eastern Illinois and Central Michigan. If you don't, you got other problems to worry about.
Is Central Michigan as good as Toledo was last year? You were dang lucky you beat Toledo.
Yeah, you were.
Right?
You were.
That's the thing about last year is that the schedule was very favorable, and you were kind of – caught some breaks just to win 5 games.
Yeah.
The Minnesota game you had to come back in. The Toledo game you probably shouldn't have won. Anyways, I'm not trying to pile
Maryland,
on
Maryland, you needed a last-second field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Did you win a game convincingly? Mm. I mean, it was Florida Atlantic, and they were within one possession in the fourth.
Yeah. Yeah, last year wasn't good. At Nebraska, I don't want to play at Nebraska in Matt Rule's year two. I don't want to, but.
Yeah, at Penn State, good luck with that one. Versus Michigan, I know that they've lost a ton. New coach, good luck with that one. At Oregon, good luck with that one. The rest of them, like...
The last 4 are toss-ups, right?
The rest of them you theoretically should have a chance in, but man, how many games are you going to be favored in other than Eastern Illinois and Central Michigan? Versus Purdue, I don't know what's going on there with Ryan Walters in year two. Maybe you're a slight favorite in that game.
Yeah.
And... At Rutgers or Northwestern? I don't know.
Is Minnesota better than you?
I think so.
Yeah.
Based on what they've been the last 5 years.
It's true. Is Michigan State better than you?
Year one for their new coach. I know they got a former 5-star quarterback coming in. They've done a lot of work in the portal. I'd say they are.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, I don't know. This is a big year. You're right, obviously. You need to be able to get back on the bull side if you can, because it could really start to snowball against you, especially as the schedule shifts and all those type of things. So we'll see. Mark says, seems like the Atlanta football team is in a critical spot. This is not losing momentum with fans. I'm assuming he's saying that it's in a critical spot to not lose momentum with fans. Yes, I agree.
Absolutely.
With you. I agree. Yep. No doubt. If you want to win, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. We'll continue to get your text as we go along. We'll talk some more basketball before we get out of here. Any thoughts also on the NFL draft after this weekend?
We are off slightly early, by the way. Cardinals pregame 4:45.
Thanks for reminding me on that. Yes, Cardinals in Detroit. We'll have the Jack Flaherty game tomorrow night. Tonight, I think they're facing Kenta Maeda. So we got a lot more to hit on. We'll be back. This is The Drive.